are becoming the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. Oh yes, of His Christ.
Peace be unto you, beloved in Jesus Christ. We praise the Lord for His mercy and goodness in His wonderful visitation and testimony of the Holy Spirit concerning Jesus Christ, the Word of God yesterday. We were brought to the house, the court, and altar of the Most High God to catch a view of King Jesus Christ, who was introduced to us as the Word of God. Yesterday, we were brought to the altar to receive, to consolidate, and to deepen our core inner being's connection with Christ Jesus, who is the Word of God. In Christ Jesus, is the source, in Him, Christ Jesus, is the source of the Spirit of life and of light, even the light of man, derived through faith in the Word of God that is preached when we believe and receive same into our inner beings. We found out that in the beginning, the Word of God, which is Christ Jesus, was and still is the origin of our being, human beings. We learned yesterday that this original source and glory fell with sin, causing disconnection with the divine spirit source of life and the light of man. Having believed and received Jesus Christ, and we've had our sins forgiven, we become reconciled with God, and we learned yesterday after that we were born again or born anew through belief in that same word that is preached. We follow this up with receiving the Spirit of Christ, that the Spirit of the Creator, afresh into our beings, our inner spirit being. Consequently, we not only become regenerated, reconnected, and reinvigorated, and restored to our original state. Indeed, we become raised to a new level of glory as spirit beings after Jesus Christ. If we get to that point, we pass from glory as man born in the image of God to a new state as children of God with full divine nature input and access to the full stature of Christ and the fullness of God. Yesterday, we learned that originally man was created in the image of God. And that image was a reflection of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life and light. But it was not supplied in its fullness. So there was just an input in the likeness of God, but not in the full. And so man was, the Bible says, created lower than even angels, but he's a creature in the image of God. He has an input of the divine nature, but it was not to this high extent in the fullness of God as a divine person. But when our sins are forgiven and we are born again, our status changes from being people or creation in the image of God now to a state of being what? Sons and daughters of God. we become adopted into sonship in our new standing as children of God. We are placed on a path of perfection from glory to glory with divine attributes and endowments, in short, divine graces and glory. We shall be like him. Amen. Yesterday, somebody reminded me this morning about this, and I wanted to put it in. We did not discuss the difference between man and the animal world, whether they be mammals like lions or for that matter birds and fishes, all of which also have some physical form like man and may breathe. They also derived their nature and powers from the same word of God, because all things were what? Created by him. And without him was not anything created that was created. So what makes the difference between man and the rest of creation? We are reminded that man was given an opportunity to have a will and a mind power, a process of decision making. The mind power is a unique feature, different and distinct from the animal world. They have language and culture. They behave according to set patterns. They move and do things like man. Nevertheless, the animal world and the rest of creation, like even the sun, the moon, and the stars, the plants and trees, stone and water, all operate through instinctive behavior patterns written in and for them through the word of God at creation. We are suggesting that, and science has proved that, the difference between man and the animals or other creation is that man has a will. Since he was created in the image of God, there's a divine attribute of thinking, processing things, deciding things, and acting upon the decision. Whereas in the animal world, they act and do things, but it's according to what? Instinct written into them. They cannot change their instinct. You can find an animal trying to pray a fellow animal, or a bird singing in the morning or something. It is not a decision taken by him, but there's an instinct written in him, and he knows at what time and what place he must operate. So in the end, he is not actually responsible for his actions, even though it appears he is. But in the case of man, he has a willpower, and he has a divine decision in making input and the thinking kaput. So he can put on his thinking, he can process information, he can take decision and act upon his decisions. The sun gets up in the morning and it shines. Of course, the sun does not shine in the morning, nor does he consciously put its power away where? In the night. No. The sun is just shining. And when there is night, it is not that the sun has ceased to shine, but what? The earth is rotating. So the sun is consistently shining. And depend upon the time and place where you are, you may see the light or you may not what? See the light. But the sun is constantly, everlastingly what? Shining. Let us not discuss eclipse. Even the eclipse, they are written in cycles. And it's more the rotation of the earth around the sun than the sun itself in casting out shadows upon itself for the sake of the rest of creation. No. So, beloved, that we are created in the image of God, there is a divine attribute, endowment within us, and that makes us different from the rest of creation. Hallelujah. Unlike man, who received the breath of life, the rest were spoken into being and existence and set in motion once and for all. Once and for all. The testimony. Remember, this is the first part of what? Testimonies. The testimony about the King, King Jesus Christ, today is, behold, Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Bible tells that he is called the Savior because, as the scriptures reveal, he has come and has offered his blood, his life, and service for the salvation of man from, first of all, from sin and all attributes and nature of sin. First of all, he has come to save man from sin. Sin is a condition and state of man that opens him to death. It separates him or her from the Creator, weakens him or her as a spirit person, and opens the way for molestation and oppression by Satan, the devil, by spirits and powers, as well as by disease, sickness, and all. Sin. It's a very interesting factor in the life of man. Yesterday we realized that sin made a fall in glory, in power, in glory, in light, and in glory. Our lives became determined. No more possibility of everlasting nature. The second area in which Jesus Christ becomes a Savior is that he saves us from our sinful nature and or predilection to sin, which brings much trouble and woes to man, society, nations, and the world. We are crying just now, calling upon Jesus Christ to save our country. The fundamental issue of faith, the crisis we are talking about, is basically what? Sin. The sinful nature of man. Sin is the cause of all the problems. This afternoon, I was considering how poverty, backwardness, have ruled us. And we are struggling against this, and there seems to be no improvement. We are going to school, education, our governments are coming and going. But the more, we seem to be more caught up in poverty and backwardness and sicknesses than even when we didn't have these governments. Because the governments, the politicians, even pastors cannot be relied upon. Because sin has taken hold. The man's sinful nature has caught him in such a state that often and most, by nature, he cannot do anything about it. David will say he was born in sin and bred in what? Iniquity. Paul was struggling about it. He said there's a power within him. There's a law and force within him. Romans chapter 7. That he cannot. He takes his mind to do right, but he does the opposite. Because there's a force within his being that overcomes even his will to do right. That pause even overcomes his will to do right. So, there's a power of sin, that force of sin. Christ also came also to deal with not just the sinful nature, but the power of sin, a nature, a natural force against man's spirit, his will and mind, and he's unable to contend with these forces. There's a power of sin. It holds you, catches you, and as if it crosses around you, and try as you could, determined as you think you are, it will hold you captive. Because, you see, that's your nature. The fallen nature is weak, and it cannot. You cannot defend yourself for the withholding power of sin. There's a power of sin. And Christ has seen this situation. He has come to deal with that power. There's another dimension, the fourth dimension, the consequences of sin to individuals, to families, to peoples, to society, to nations, and to the world. For example, we know that the wages of sin is what? Death. So death is a factor of sin. Diseases, sickness, there may be germs and there may be viruses, but it's a sin factor. And perhaps I believe that when Adam and Eve had not sinned, these viruses could not have any part, what? No power over them. But the moment you fall in strength, spiritual strength, physical strength, and mind power, even mosquitoes can make you find sleepless nights. And the humming of a mosquito can make you chase your room and run around the place. And if you don't know how to run, malaria will tell you that I am come to visit you. Praise the Lord. The human soul spirit is cut up and the body becomes weak. So the soul, the spirit, and the body become weak, and they're exposed to all kinds of things because of sin, the consequences of sin. Nations have wars, failures of empires, kingdoms, and thrones because of what? Sin, wickedness, and sin. There's the fifth one. There's a place of sin as a feature in the human experience and human story. I call it a tragedy, in fact. Due to man's weakness in dealing with sin, in short, the state of darkness and death, corruptibility and mortality, hopelessness and futility become the reality of the human life. This is a tragedy. You cannot escape it. The psalmist saw it and he said in Psalm 90 that men are being carried like what? Sheep, and consumed due to the anger and wrath of God. You turn man into destruction and say, return, O children of men. If you read Psalm 90, you can see the helplessness of man. And he said, the glory of man in the morning is bright and beautiful. Tomorrow, by noonday, is no more. It's cut off. The story of pallbearers, people who are carrying the coffin and crying and wailing on the way to the grave. And as I said yesterday, the grave opens its mouth in laughter all the time. The grave is a sign of ceaseless laughter. The grave, the earth, what? Opens the mouth, is laughing. Another one is coming. So I described it yesterday as well. Ceaseless laughter. The grave, the glory of the grave is in ceaseless laughter. As soon as one falls, they say, open a space and let's find somewhere to put him away. And the grave is excited. Obiri Babio. Praise the Lord. Beloved, sin. This is sin. Weakness and subjecting to satanic oppression. A defeat in the serpentine seed of woman conflict. Genesis 3:15. Because man had sinned, being lured or seduced or deceived by the serpent, Eve and Adam accepted the offer to use the will, we'll come back to it soon, to decide that they want to be God unto themselves. So they want to break away from God and be free, independent, and autonomous beings. They don't want to be dependent on God. They don't want God to take decisions for them. They have grown. They will take decisions. It's just a young girl told me one day in London, Daddy, you must know that I'm now 13. You know, when the ones get to 13, they think they are in heaven. Now, they want to take on the responsibility of what? Deciding things for themselves. They are 13. And today, a 13-year-old boy can even defy his parents, can go to the internet and hear stories and adopt a lifestyle against the will and what? And desires and instructions of parents. Even in the church, the scriptures say this, and you feel people decide that, as for that, praise the Lord. The human story is one of tragedy. The tragedy of sin in which man has no escape. It is this that Jesus Christ has come to cancel out, to eliminate, to replace it with a new state and nature of man and a new order in society of peace, righteousness, and life, victory, liberty, and restoration of glory. This is the package that Jesus offers. He replaces the tragedy of sin and woes, agonies, wars, and all the rest with what? Peace. Righteousness and life. He brings victory over sin and assures us liberty. Liberty of the soul. The law of liberty as Christians understand it. And restoration of glory. What we lost yesterday, we regain it. The Bible introduces Jesus Christ in simple terms in this connection. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says what? You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his brethren from what? Their sin. You shall call his name what? Jesus. For what? He shall save his brethren from their sin. Beloved, the word brethren here does not refer to, it refers to the entire human race, not just Jews, because he was born a Jew. So you may think that brethren means Jews. No. In our presentation yesterday, we learned that Christ is the source of the core inner being, the nature of man, the spirit of life and light of man. Therefore, all men bear whose nature? So he is what? Our brother. It is he imparts himself. You see, the other thing, he spoke them into existence, but with us, he breathed into us. The divine personality, the triune God breathed into us. And the spirit that was, the breath that was put in us was the Christ dimension of the divinity, of the Trinity. The breath that we receive was what? The Christ dimension of the divine, of the Trinity. So we are of Christ, even as first Adam. So we are his brethren. He has a close affinity with the human race than the Father, and therefore what? The Holy Spirit. Because we are an extension of himself. It is no wonder he became what? Flesh to save us. Are you getting me? I say that when Joseph was told that the child will be called what? Jesus. He should not get throw the wife away. But the child that the woman was going to bear shall be called holy, and their name shall be called what? Jesus. For he shall what? Save his brethren from what? Their sin. And I'm suggesting here that this brethren does not refer to the Jewish people, but what? All humanity. In Hebrews chapter 2, we have this re-echoed in verse 11. You can read Hebrews chapter 2 if you read it. Quoted Psalm 2, you know, Psalm 8, and as man, about man. But he goes on, he said, Jesus Christ took on, he became the justifier, and he took on our sin and so on, blah, blah, blah. And he is not ashamed to call us what? Brethren. And what he is what? He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Again, he's what? He is not ashamed to call who? Man, brother. You and I, brethren. He is indeed and in fact a brother. Hence, as many as believed on him and receive him as Savior, he gave them power to be what? To be adopted and become and treated as what? Children of God, like himself. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. And he is not worried that we should bear his fullness of nature. So he's prepared to expand, relieve, and breathe himself and give himself fully to us that we can like him. This is Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? He's put himself in you. When you are born again, an open door of being perfect as Jesus Christ is where you have got into. So you need to press on unto perfection in the very likeness. Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 3, that we are pressing on to attain the height of the high calling in Christ. Amen. We are brothers to him. So he is not ashamed to call us what? Brethren. And I used to say that he is son because of S. Because what he did is this. He confessed his status as son of the living God unto all who believe, accept, and receive him as brother and Savior and Lord. Indeed. He says what? When we believe him and we accept him, John 1:11 says what? He came unto his own, what? And his own received him not. He came to men, and men I refused to receive him. But what? As many as received him, to them gave what? Power to become what? The children of God. And I'm saying that what it implies that he confessed on us, hallelujah, his own status as what? Son of the living God. Matthew 16. Who woman says I am? And Peter said, well, thou art the son of the what? Of the living God. He said, upon this rock are what? Upon this foundation, I will build my church. All who believe in me, all who accept me, all who are not ashamed of me, I will confer on them the sonship. So if you are in Ephesians chapter 2, that God the Father had ordained that we should be adopted where? In the beloved. Who is the beloved? Jesus Christ. So, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have already set a mechanism of redemption through connection with whom? Brethren, through connection with whom? Through connection with whom? Through connection with whom? Through connection with whom? I want everybody, do you believe that? Through connection with whom? Jesus Christ. Now, when you are meeting any Muslim, any your witness, any religious person, any traditional religion, any people who say that they know Jesus God before the European come, tell them that the God they knew didn't tell them that he will share his nature with them. And they will be him. In many people, the God they knew is a God that kills, that asks for bloodshed, that asks the fellow men to be offered to him. In Jesus, what did he do? He offered himself. We adopted God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost have created a mechanism by which the human race shall be what? Redeemed through the beloved Jesus Christ. And not just redemption, by what? Restoration and rise in what? Glory unto a new status. As children of the Most High. Hallelujah. This is where we are. If you have not got in this yet, tonight consider it. He is our brother indeed. So what is the nature and root of sin? Sin is simply a spirit, will, and man of disobedience, a mind, a spirit, will, a mind of disobedience. What is sin? Sin is simply what? A spirit, will, a mind of what? Disobedience. What is sin? Sin is simply what? A spirit, a will, and what? A mind of disobedience. Everybody, what is sin? Sin is simply a spirit, will, a mind of disobedience. If you have that spirit, you have that will, and you have that mind of disobedience, you are in sin. Even if you have not acted, you are in sin. It comes from the root of man. Man's desire to be God unto himself, not willing to yield to any higher authority, regulation, or control. You think of yourself so highly and so important that you are not willing to submit to any authority, any regulation, any direction or control of any nature, then you are breeding and you are what? Developing and growing what? In sin. You are already in sin. Any man who says, as for me, I don't want, no, I'll do only that which pleases me. He's a sinner. That is a sign of sin. He's not even prepared to reason with you and discuss with you. He believes in himself. He's God unto himself. He's all important. He's a fool, but he doesn't know he's a fool. Because he has fallen. That's a sign of what? Fall of man. That's the root cause of sin. Man wants to be what? Independent. If Adam wanted to be God, they wanted to be free, independent, and autonomous, self-propelling, self-satisfying beings. It is that spirit in Eve Adam that prompted them to disobey the commandment of God regarding the fruit of what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:15-17. This spirit from Eve, it is this seed of disobedience, self-projection, or self-projecting autonomous independent nature that has been passed on and ingrained in man, ingrained in you, ingrained in him. In greediness, the seed of woman, once you came through who? A woman, you have that seed planted in you. Because your grand-grandmother was the one who started the chain. Praise the Lord. This is root cause and seed of sin in all of us. Do you know that babies and infants even display self-projection ingrained in them? Somebody said, if you are feeding a baby breast and is not happy, it can do what? Bite your breast. A baby who... The baby who has not known sin is already deciding that what? To cause harm. And so mothers have to be careful to satisfy who? The baby. And if you are not giving her attention, what does she do? She will cry and cry. You will never sleep. That's his sin, sin. It is the root cause of sin, disobedience. I am myself. I am God unto myself. I don't care what people say. I don't care what you say. As for me, I'll do what I want. Nobody can rule me. I am this and that. You are a big sinner and a fool. But because of you, Christ has come. You can be saved from that. You see, this is not in my notes, but there's something we learn from young people, there's something we learn from Christ. When a man comes to Christ, there are two spirits in Christ. First of all, the spirit of what? Obedience and righteousness. You get my point? There's another spirit in Christ that the Bible says we should learn. What the spirit? Humility, meekness. A man who believes in himself and does not want to obey anybody, they don't want to, he thinks that he's, yeah, that is sin. And it lands you in troubles. You cannot get on with anybody. You are in your own world and you can't get on with anybody. Praise the Lord. Humility is a sign that somebody has got what in him? Christ. The more you grow in Christ, the more humble you become. The proof that you are a Christian and you are growing in Christ really is that what? You are humble. If you are proud, self-opinionated, and you think that you are right and nobody, you see, you are a fool, Taflaje, with due respect to you. You are a sinner. And the earlier tonight you repent, the better for you. Anyway, the open door of salvation is already there for you. Once you say you are a Christian, this door is open to you. Enter into it tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a root cause and seed of sin in all of us. We learn even babies. Now, I have four propositions of salvation. In what way, then, is Christ a Savior? Taking us, there are four systems of salvation. There are four systems established by Christ for the salvation of man. Number one, four systems of salvation established by Christ. One, the blood shed on Calvary cross. The blood shed on the Calvary. The blood shed is for atonement of sin. It's for reconciliation with God. It's for the remission of sins. And for the redemption of man in the battle against Satan and sin. The blood shed on Calvary is the first and glorious provision made by Satan. Whom? Jesus Christ. To save man from sin. When we sin and God cursed us, the blood came to atone for our sins. Then he opens the door for remission of sin and therefore reconciliation with God. So there be peace. Then the blood becomes an instrument of redemption. It says like, God pays a price on your head. We are redeemed not by what? Silver and gold. By what? A price. precious blood. So the blood is like a price paid for your life, your soul, spirit, and your body. So it's redemption is in it. When there's remission of sins, the blood is used to cleanse you of all what? Unrighteousness. So there's no mark of sin. And there's no evidence of sin when the blood is cleansed, is used to cleanse you. What did he say? He said what? When the blood, when you confess your sin and your sins are forgiven and the blood is used to what? To cleanse you. There's no what? No mark of sin. No evidence of sin. And Satan or any power or disease cannot come and cause you to die or to do it weak because there's no mark. So the Bible says when somebody is sick, let him call what? The elders. And what do the elders do? They anoint him with oil and pray for if he has what? He has sinned. His sin shall be what? Forgiven. And his disease, which is the cause of the sin, which was called by what? Sin, shall be healed. So when you come, elders, and the elders anoint you, maybe you have sinned. Maybe that's the problem is they don't know. But the Bible says, let them anoint you. Perhaps you have sinned. You don't even know, or you are not confessing it. But because you have come and offered, the mercy of God is provided through the mark of the blood. And therefore, you are anointed by the oil. And that oil, it becomes a mechanism by which the blood will flow and what? Cleanse you. And the prayer of the righteous shall what? Avail. Your sins shall be forgiven, and automatically your sins shall be, your disease what? Shall be healed. So if a disease that is caused by sin, and you come, the elders pray for you, soon, immediately, your disease is gone. So that salvation in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Number two, the new birth. In which man is filled afresh and born anew with Christ's own sinless spirit and nature. The secret of the new birth. Yesterday we can say it, but here, there's one dimension of the new birth. The Christ spirit that comes in you is what? It's sinless. It's sinless. It cannot be touched by sin. And no power can accuse you of sin. Because that spirit in you, the Christ in you, is what? The hope of glory. There's no contamination in it. There's no evidence. So diseases cannot touch you. Hallelujah. And that sinless spirit is a guarantee that you will live long. Amen. So you can even be saved from diseases just because you are born again. Just because you are born again. There's a sinless spirit that comes in you. And that sinless is when it goes deeper and grows in you, it will remove sin. It will remove diseases. And it will make give you energy, a new divine nature. And you will be young and you will never grow old. Because the sinless spirit of Christ is taking dominion and infuriating and is passing like a leaven into your being. And you are always young. There's a sinless spirit of Christ in you. Let it have way in your life. That's a guarantee with you, for you. The sinless, incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ, as Peter said it in 1 Peter, sealed in man's inner being, guarantees both of sonship and sinlessness for those born anew through faith in Jesus Christ. There are two dimensions. The seed of Christ confers on you sonship. But that same seed is what? Sinless. So it provides a guarantee against. It's a salvation guarantee. If you open Ephesians 1, I think 13, 14, he said, when you have believed the truth, you are what? You are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Against what? The day of redemption. That seed is the Christ spirit that can indwell you, is with you, is sinless. It confers you sonship and authority. And that is a guarantee. As long as that seed is not, that seal is not broken, you are sure that you will meet Christ face to face one day. That is the seed of what? The seal of what? Guarantee of your life. Amen. Anyone who is born again is a child of God by the virtue of the Spirit of Christ in him, and also a deposit of sinlessness, a sinless spirit. This is the basic divine Christ salvation mechanism passed to men who believe. The third mechanism or system of Christ salvation order is the Word of God. The Word of God. Yesterday we talked about the Word, the source of creation. But now we are talking of the Word of God as God's provision for man's salvation. The Word of God is what? God's what? Provision for man's what? Salvation. It will ensure your salvation if you believe and obey the word. The word of God is spirit and power and what? And life mechanism of salvation. It orders and establishes man on a path of truth, righteousness and holiness unto God, and life. The word of God is an open door unto what? The path of what? Truth, righteousness, holiness unto God, and life, even eternal life. The Bible describes the word of God as a light unto what? Our path. It means that it provides a light which when you follow, you will never what? Get lost. You will not lose your salvation. The word of God, which is Christ, who also is light, provides not only direction on the path of life, but also guarantees security of salvation in life. The new nature, the word of God makes sure that you are not turned away from the new nature that is in you. Because the new nature is also the word of God. And the word that is being preached or that you read, it is a guide unto your path and helps you to walk perfectly. So when you are walking according to the word of God, there is a divine heavenly ordered guarantee for your salvation. The new nature and the new heavenly order, spiritual and social value system for man. In the word of God, there's a new nature and the heavenly order, spiritual and social value system for man. Individuals, family, tribe, society, people, and nations. When the nations accept the word of God as a basis of the law, the conduct, and the value system, beloved, the nation is saved and is blessed. The word of God is water of the divine life and divine light. The Bible declares of the word of God in Psalm 19, saying, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. Look at the power of the word. What does it do? It converts the soul. It changes you. It changes. It converts you. There are many people who are Christian, but they are not converted. But if you are taking the word of God, it will convert your soul. It will change your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise what? The simple. You get wisdom from above. When you study the statutes of the law, the testimony about Jesus Christ, as you follow it in the scripture, what do you say? He will make you wise. I think you are great. You have studied some philosophy or you have been the greatest scientist, Because it makes you wise. You understand life better. The learned people, the philosophers, and all those great men with long beard and big hearts and a lot of money, when they don't know the word of God, they are in darkness. But you in light, you are wise. The word of God, the testimony of Christ, will get you out of harmful ways and things that will destroy you. You are young, but you'll be wiser than your fathers. Because you have believed in the word, and you word the word of God guide your conduct, you are wise. You are simple. You are not extraordinary, but you are wise. He says what? The statutes of the Lord are what? Right, rejoicing the heart. When you are studying the statutes of the word of God, it enlightens your mind, and your heart rejoices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The word of God makes you all. When you study the word, I'm saying that don't study the word to pass examination. Study the word to find Jesus Christ. Study the word to guide your conduct. Study the word to live right. Hallelujah. Amen. Your heart will be what? Your mind will be enlightened. Your spirit will be enlightened. And your heart shall rejoice. The commandments of the Lord is pure. Enlightening what? The eyes. Hey. The fear of the Lord is what? Clean. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are what? True and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than what? Honey. And the honeycomb. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 10. So you see, the third mechanism by which our salvation is secured by Christ, that makes Christ our Savior, is the Word of God. Number four, there's Christ's divine arsenal in warfare against Satan. Now that we have in Christ, Genesis 3 tells us that there's a warfare between what? Satan and whom? The seed of the woman. So life is war. When you have Christ, there's a mechanism in which the spirit power and authority behind the name, the blood, and the word of God, of Christ Jesus, is a fortification, a city that is what? Fortified. The power. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the word, in the word of God. And this is, you are like a fortified word, city. And Satan cannot take you. He cannot overcome you. You shall be victorious. You don't need to die to resurrect. But even in the flesh, you shall be what? Victorious. Because your connection with Christ, hallelujah, you are open to heaven. I'm not even talking about angels. I'm talking about just that connection with Christ. His name, his blood, the word of God. These three things are arsenals to face the enemy. Whatever he does to your life, you can be sure that you shall overcome. He who believes in him shall be what? An overcomer. Praise the Lord. The four Christ spiritual salvation system constitutes a sure and perfect divine mechanism to safeguard and guarantee salvation in and through the Savior our Lord. In conclusion, beloved, behold Jesus Christ, the Savior. He is Savior and Lord of man. Through the agreement of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God has opened the divine door of fully guaranteed system of salvation, path of glory, victory over Satan and certainty of eternal life to man. The Bible concludes in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that Jesus Christ, the Savior, has become the proof of the wisdom of God towards man. And Christ has become what? our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Christ's salvation system is a wisdom of God released in him. He has become our salvation. He become our righteousness. He become our sanctification. He has become what? Our redemption. All that is needed of us is to believe, to accept, to receive, and obey Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Savior of man and the world. Amen.
He shall reign over his people, and he'll be their God. He shall reign over his people, and he'll be their God.